I want you to go to Revelation tonight with me, chapter 13. I'm going to continue a little bit. Some of the stuff I said maybe the last week or two. I've been teaching the book of Revelation in Sunday school, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I'm going to be skipping way ahead tonight and not expounding it very much, not necessarily. Revelation chapter 13, just remember something you already know. And I guess if anything tonight, I'm giving you a little bit of a heads up on what's behind it all. Where the evil side wants to take us. And they are taking us there. But when they get there, they're going to look around for you and I. We're going to be gone. They're going to say, how'd we lose them? Amen. But they are going to lose. They're going to lose us when the trumpet sounds. Amen? Amen. Revelation chapter 13. Let's just jump in somewhere here. You remember in the chapter we have what's called two beasts show up. One of them is a religious one. One of them is pretty much a government one. But the religious one points to the population to worship the other. And let's jump in verse 11 of chapter 13 of Revelation. And I behold another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. I'm going to park here just a minute. Listen, I'm going to ramble some tonight. Listen, I ought to have a few privileges after being here this long. And especially right now. So let me ramble just a little bit, if you don't mind. May not be right according to what you say. Well, that ain't much of an outline, but don't look for one tonight. I'll tell you that. Like a lamb, but he speaks as a dragon. He's a fake, of course. And we recognize that. Now, he's coming up out of the earth. He's probably from the earthly crowd we'd talk about. And he's going to get wounded down in verse 12. And he's going to get healed from it. This little rabbit trail I want to just give you. Watch out for world leaders. Watch out for those you may know about in the news. Watch out for the next one that gets wounded and lives. I mean, I don't have time tonight, but I can take you to the book of Zechariah and show you how he's going to be wounded. And when that happens, you're going to know that's the guy, whether the world knows it or not. And I'm hoping we're out of here, maybe even before that, but certainly around that time for sure. It says he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. People are going to worship him. And then it describes him whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Many Bible students believe that this Antichrist, when he's wounded, is the time that the devil fills him and takes over, and it could be. It could be. And he deceiveth them, in verse 14, that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword. So he's not wounded with the virus, he's wounded by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. By the way, you know that technology now, they can do that trick. Years ago, and I believe it was first demonstrated in Japan, they had a fellow come out and speak to an audience, somebody they thought they knew. Turned out it wasn't him at all. They had projected his image out there. Very much like the Bible's talking about here. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And surely you know something about the mark of the beast and all the talk about chips and everything else. Are we in an age where this is no trick at all? Now, can you imagine folks reading this 100 years ago and wondering how it could be done? image of the beast, the mark. See, we're in the computer age. Now it's possible to put a mark on every human being on earth. You got computers that's got megabytes in them for the billions. It's an amazing thing. And that no man might buy or sell, verse 17, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. I'm not going to play with the numbers tonight. I've done that before. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Mankind's number, by the way, is 6. And his number is 666, or 666. That's not my message tonight. I just want to tell you this is where we're heading. One world ruler, one world government, all power, all worship directed to him. That's where we're headed, folks. Now, you know what I like about this? There's some things you read between the lines sometimes. There's a debate, even among good Bible believers, as to when the rapture, the catching up of the saints takes place. And some think the Antichrist will be revealed in somewhere in the middle of the tribulation period or even at the end. I was talking with a preacher on the phone yesterday, and he was talking about a problem he had in his church with folks believing maybe we're going through the trib. Well, if they're not Jews, it's the day of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. And it's the day of Romans 11 when the Jews' eyes will be opened again to who the Messiah is. So don't worry about it. The church is not going through the tribulation period. It's not for us. And but there's folks that get mixed up on that and think that sort of thing. But just reading the verses, let me say this to you. If the whole world is going to worship the beast, and the Bible says they are, do you know spirit-born again people with the Holy Spirit living within them would not worship the beast? They got to be removed. If you're saved, born again by the Spirit of God, you're not going to be here to worship the beast. You're going to be worshiping around the throne in heaven, Revelation chapter 4. Amen? Just a few common sense things like that help you out sometime. But the same subject I've been on, prophecy students know that there's going to be a crisis. I'm not saying it's this crisis. If it's not this one, it'll be another one. A high official in the Obama administration said, never let a good crisis go to waste. Gain from it. And that's what we have happening today. You're going to be surprised who grabs power during this virus crisis. But prophecy students realize that the globalism, one world government, antichrist leader, all that will come in a crisis time. He'll have the answer. I've told you before, I remember many, many years ago, I was in a dentist's office. You remember those experiences. I never did like to go to the dentist's office. And that particular time, especially, they were doing some painful work. And that's been years ago. I don't believe I was pastoring by that time. And I waiting, naturally you gotta wait, right? I was in the waiting room and I picked up some magazines there on the table, began to read. And I read where they were projecting the day might come, theoretically, the day might come that a heavenly body like another planet might move close to Earth. And the gravitational pull from that planet would attract people that had certain things in their body that would be attracted to that gravitational pull, and they could be millions disappear. I thought, oh boy, somebody's trying to explain the rapture before it happens. Right? And they'll have an explanation. The Antichrist will have an explanation, I guarantee you will. He's going to have to, you talk about this virus being a panic. How about when your mother or your dad or your wife or your kids disappear? You're going to look for an explanation then. Yeah, you are. A crisis, though, will bring in the Antichrist. It'll bring in the global government. Now, what we're seeing today is just a taste of control, because control is what a lot of it is about. I got off the phone this afternoon. I called Brother Chad. He had texted my wife and said, have the preacher call me. And so I called him. I talked to you about him a little bit this morning. He had a message from the governor. A lot of the preachers did. The governor called him a few days ago and said, we want you to know we're not putting any rules on the churches. That's Georgia. He pastors up in Waycross, Georgia. He's one of our college grads here in our church with us. Great man of God. And the governor talked to the preachers and said, we're not putting any rules on closing down churches. But as soon as his service was over today, the county, a county that don't have one case in it, not one person in the hospital with coronavirus in that county, they gave Brother Chad a message to close down. He had announced this morning they'd have services tonight, and I suspect he's doing that. But he got a detailed message that if you assemble in the building, outside the building, $1,000 fine, 60 days in jail. In Georgia, rural Georgia. His church is good ways outside of Waycross. Folks, did you ever think you'd see these times come? I didn't either. But they're here. They're here. It's an amazing thing. I mean, they got in detail. You staff members, run up your antenna right now. They also said in the message, whoever's on the platform with you. No. I'll have company in there, amen. All joking aside, if somebody jumps up, take the preacher to jail, he jumps up to preach, take him to jail, he jumps up to preach, take him to jail. By the way, fellas, I would wish a lot of you would jump up and let's just fill up the jail if that's what it takes. Amen. Amen. Let's see how big it is. Hey, Christians have done that in the past. They've done that in the past. But Chad's case there, that's something. Now, the governor said this, I can't control the local authorities. Well, that kind of don't make sense to me. It seems like all the time I'm here and they do control them. But what he's saying, the governor is wanting us to be free like we ought to be under the Constitution, and little local big shot authorities decide they have authority they don't have. And that's probably what will happen if it happens here. It'll probably happen that way. But we're not gonna quit because of it. We're gonna keep going. See, he has a clean county, no cases. Nobody got the coronavirus, no deaths. Far as he knows at this minute, nobody in the hospital. And by the way, you'd be surprised how few in our county are in the hospital with it. Hardly any. And I talked to a nurse not long ago. I said, y'all got them stacked in the halls? Is the rooms all full? She said, preacher, just the opposite. We got plenty of room. Amen. See, the news don't quite report it right, do they? If you got the ledger this afternoon and read it, I did after I went home, and the ledger has been better since they've changed some, but he's been printing some editorials from other papers. But on the headline, on the front page of the ledger this afternoon, it says something like this, Florida may be the next hot spot. Now, I want you to notice the words, could be, maybe, and people buy it like it was fact. Well, I can say this, lightning may strike you. And it may not, but it could. And so they write that way. That's junk, folks. That's brainwashing. It's worse than bias. It's pure old trickery is what it is. I was leaving church today after morning service. I had the car radio on, our radio station, of course. And it came over the news spot, and it said there are 2,800 counties in America, 2,800 counties that have no sign of this virus at all. Why don't that make the regular news? The president has tried to say there's spots in the country that's unaffected, but he got a lot of criticism for saying that. Right. See, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon to make it as bad as they can. And there's a motive behind that. And the motive is the text I read. Take us into the one world government. Take us into the one world leader. And the churches are standing in the way. When I say churches, I'm talking about good churches, born again people. That's what I'm talking about. Now, what is it? It's a control grab. That's what it is. When I was in Russia, some of the preachers that went met with me know this. We met preachers over there that had spent much of their life in prison. What were they guilty of? Holding church, having Sunday schools. I remember my heart just broke one day near the time we were leaving. And we went to a pastor's house. I went in his house. He was past middle age, at that time older than me. And his wife had grown old. And his son was a grown man now. And the story was, Dad had been in prison most of their life. As his wife grew older and his son grew up. And they had only been able to visit him two or three times. Now he is home. Life gone. Now maybe he won some souls, and I know he did, in prison. But they arrested him early. What was the charge? He opened a Sunday school. Opened a Sunday school. I'm talking about communism. When you hear this bunch hollering for socialism, man, oh man, I mean, telling you what, I'd like for them to go over there and experience some of it. That's what they need to do, amen? When we was in Russia, we saw that sort of thing. Make any excuse to arrest them. Right now, in Iran, and I picked up this map out of my office. This is by the Wycliffe translators, and it's called The Map of the Middle East, and it's big, clear words. I'll maybe lay it down here if somebody wants to look at it. It's got on here Turkey, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, got all this map here. We think sometime when the preacher's giving stories like persecution of the Christians around the world, listen, folks, we're not as far off from that. That flag or the American government and our freedoms, all that stands between us and this sort of stuff. And if they destroy your government that we have in America, this is what you can look forward to. Here's Iran, July 2018. Pastor beaten and arrested. Plain clothes agents beat a pastor in front of his family and threw him into prison for preaching the gospel. He's being held in one of the world's most notorious prisons for Christians. This pastor faces numerous charges. Big charge, preaching the gospel. That's on planet Earth. That's right tonight, where you, if except for this virus, you could get on an airplane and go right over there into Iran. By the way, our government, which has gone so sick on some stuff, has passed a rule that President Trump cannot fight back in Iran without their permission. Crazy. Crazy. After he killed that terrorist, or he gave the orders for him to be killed, then Nancy Pelosi and all the witch crew up there got on it and passed rules that he couldn't do that no more without their permission. You think they're going to give permission? What a joke. All right, I moved off a little bit, but it's a control grab. That's what it is. The final effort will steal our freedoms. And let me tell you, I think Chad said on the phone maybe this afternoon, they say it's for our good. You ever hear that one before? That's what the communists use. It's for the greater good. Greater good. That's what you folks that are getting criticism by being in church today when you go to the job tomorrow. Oh, well, you know, you're hurting society. The greater good. The greater good is telling folks about the Lord and the truth out of the Word of God. That's the greater good. Amen? But you're going to run into that. That's the excuse they use to grab power, take control, and ultimately take your freedoms as fast as they can. I predict more after this because they've learned something. They've learned they can panic the people and they can get by with stuff they couldn't get by under normal conditions. So what's behind it all? Well, the devil, of course. I find it kind of interesting. I was teaching in Sunday school this morning. I was teaching over there about a little bit about the devil, and I told the talk about the origin of Satan, talking a little bit about the his origin there, and told a story about when I was in Israel and we went out there to the head of the Jordan River where the water come out of the mountain and where the temple is carved in Mount Hermon there. And it's a temple with big pillars and open like a cave going into it. And it's called the Temple of Pan, P-A-N. Look him up in the encyclopedia. You'll find out. Even have his picture in there, what they think he looked like. And you'll find out why the cartoonist draws Satan with a split hoof and a forked tail and horns. Pan. He was the picture, basically, of where the artist gets the picture of the devil. What are we enduring right now? Pandemic? P-A-N, don't start that way? Don't we spell it that way? Better watch out. Their origin behind it is the devil. All the way back, go back into his roots and his beginning in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and all that in your Bible. You learn something about him. I found it kind of ironic when I got to thinking about pandemic. Now you say, well, the word means universal. And that's what the devil is. He's universally the devil. Everywhere. He's not omnipresent like God, but he is. He's got control of the governments of this world and people in high places. And boy, is he ever using them. Yeah, Pan, the devil. And they desire to steal our freedoms on the name of, well, it's for the greater good. Destroy the Constitution. It's for the greater good. I predict some more stuff's coming. I think this one will pass. I pray it will. There's a crowd out there trying to enlarge it all the time, trying to make it worse all the time. But I predict it'll pass. The president upped the date again, the deadline again, I think, to the end of April. And they're fighting him over even having an optimistic thing to say about it. But when this one's over, they've learned something. They've learned you can panic the public and you can get your way for the greater good, of course. Of course. Now, here's what we're hearing. Brother Stanley told me up in Georgia, he said they're restricting them to not go anywhere except for essential stuff. What's that word? Essential. He said, now, I've been to Walmart, and there's a whole pile of crowd down there. I guess they're after the essentials. Amen. Yeah, yeah. What could be more essential than hearing the gospel? In the house of God. Essentials? You see, they don't think church is essential. They don't think God is essential. In fact, they mock him. But you can go to Walmart, and I'm for Walmart. But there's more than just taking care of the physical body and the food we need that's more essential. Amen? Well, you can't go unless it's essential. The way they look at the church, it's not necessary. I'll tell you why they think it's not necessary, because they fear it. Right. If you'll go back and check the history on the American Revolution that broke us away from England, it started with preachers raising sand in the pulpit. Right. And governments of the world, in fact, the King of England made this statement during the American Revolution. He said the colonies, the government, colonial government, was in bed with the parsons. That's the statement old King George made. They fear God's people. They always have. They do today. You know, what we're seeing, yes, it is a Bible sign of the end times. There's no doubt about that. And we don't need any more. I've said I quit looking for signs a long time ago. I'm just looking for the signal to go up now. Amen. One of the signs we see, though, is something I think maybe, and we can't prove it, but Brother Stanley thinks so up in Georgia. He had service this morning in his church, and his attendance was down, just like all churches, like we were down this morning, of course. A lot of people listening online, we were proud they were listening. But he said this morning in his sermon, he told that the governor had assured him that the restrictions didn't apply to the churches. And he told them in his sermon this morning he was going to have church tonight. By the time he could get home and eat lunch, he had a message sent to him. Don't have church tonight. We'll charge you $1,000. Or you can go 60 days in jail. And they say, well, how did they catch on so quick? He's out in the country. He's not that big a church. Somebody betrayed. Some Judas. That's what happened. And don't kid yourself, they're all around us. And Jesus predicted it. Read Matthew. I'll just do it for you. I'll turn over to Matthew chapter 24 and find it for you real quick. Let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 10. We're moving into the shadow of the tribulation period right now, folks. Only thing between us and the tribulation, I believe, is the rapture. But in Matthew 24 and verse 10, listen to what Jesus said. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Are we there? We're close. We're close. This thing of betrayal amazes me. Jesus went on to say it'd be a daughter against the mother-in-law and the mother-in-law against the daughter. It'd be in the families. Now, that's a heartbreaking thing. But, hey, the communists used that for years. They got the kids in their school to betray the parents back home if they had a Bible or if they were secretly meeting. That's not new. It's new to America. But it's coming. It's coming. But you know what? That's a Bible sign that Jesus is coming. That's right. That's right. The own household. You know, that happened under Hitler and Nazi Germany, where they were able to get kids to tattle on the parents. I knew a little information many years ago that came from a family out of that was in that thing on the Nazis. And the police came to their house to confiscate their gun. How did the police know they had the gun? They got the kids to tell on the parents that they had a gun hid at home. First thing Hitler done when he began to come to power was take up the guns. Does that sound familiar? Losing our Second Amendment rights here. Does that sound familiar? And they used the policemen, which in some of the cities were Jewish policemen. They sent them to the Jewish homes to confiscate the guns. And they used the same statement I just used a while ago. I know of a policeman that went back to mom and dad's house and got their gun. And he said, well, it's for the greater good. Let's cooperate with them. Boy, was he misled. In a little while, then they took up the policeman's guns, and none of them had them. Read your history a little bit. History kind of repeats itself. And Hitler was the greatest type of the Antichrist you'll ever find in history. If I'd have been preaching at that time, I'd have probably said he was the man. A lot of preachers did, because he fit the bill so well. Well, what's all behind it? Yeah, one world government, giving them power, grabbing control, all this, stealing our freedoms, all that's behind it. And a lot of it is the timing on it right now is to try to mess up the election. We better watch who comes to power in America. Better be very careful about it. Billionaires are behind this movement. You know some of the names if I used them. They're behind this movement. And we may be only one election away from this man I'm talking to you about in Revelation 13 with the number 666 shows up. So, preacher, what are we going to do? Is it all that bad? No, it's not bad. Lord's still on the throne, still alive, and still all-powerful. Hold your faith. Don't give it up. Victory's on the way. It's on the way. So what should I do? You ought to pray. And you ought to witness. Do you know there's a lot of people out there unsaved and even some that are saved that don't know much about the Bible? They would like to have some answers. They'd like to know what you know tonight as a Bible student. Don't be shy to tell them. All they know is what they're getting over the bloob tube, and it is biased and wrong and slanted and fake. So much of it. Don't be shy about telling the truth. The truth is Jesus. He is the truth. Pilate, as Jesus stood before him, Pilate said, what is truth? And truth was standing right in front of him. He was condemning him to be crucified. We know the truth. Let's don't hide it. Let's tell others. Tonight, I didn't want to steal your night's sleep. You ought to be able to go pillow your head on the bed and sleep as good as anything, because Jesus is your Savior. If he's not, you ought to stay up all night and wring your hands. But if you know him as Savior, you got the peace that passeth all understanding. You've got God's presence with you. You've got victory at the end. And so in the meantime, let's just do all the good we can for the Lord and his cause. Tell your neighbor, tell a fellow student, tell a co-worker. And again, I say to you, there's a lot of people out there would like to know what you know. Amen? Let's don't be shy about telling them. All right, let's stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Lord, I haven't really preached the gospel to ask somebody to be saved, but if there's somebody here lost, Father, we would ask them to come forward and let us take a Bible and show them how they'd be saved and know it and have that peace when they put their head on their pillow tonight, that if they died in their sleep, heaven would be their home. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he's the final winner. Thank you gave us a book to tell us the whole story and how it ends and how it turns out. Father, I pray now for the situation our country is in and the world is in. I pray that the truth might break through and they could see God through this whole thing. Bless the invitation now. Maybe we just ought to come to the altar and pray some for the needs tonight. And especially if one's not saved, they would come to receive Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Bow our heads a moment. The music will continue. It's a good time for us to let our light shine. Somebody wrote a great poem one time about keeping our head when everybody around us is losing theirs. It is dark. It may get darker. That means our light will shine farther. Somebody said it's better to light a candle, just a candle, than it is to just curse the darkness and do nothing. So let's be admonished. So what are we going to do here next few months, next year? If Jesus don't come, we're going to keep on doing what we're doing now. That's the important stuff, what we do it now. That's why it's important, amen. We do it regularly because it's important. I encourage you, folks, don't be discouraged. Get discouraged, the devil's had his victory. He's got you on the shelf. He won't be used. Nobody will be getting saved. Nobody will be getting testified to if he discourages you enough. So don't let that happen. Don't let that happen.